Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's leading publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham, a journalist who's been covering M&A for a decade. Now, on the 9th of December, shareholders of both Anglo American and Teck Resources will vote on a merger between the two mining companies, a last-ditch attempt by Anglo's long-term suitor, BHP Billiton, to disrupt the deal, failed 2 weeks ago. Last year, Anglo successfully fought off a very persistent BHP, which made three offers to buy the company. So, ahead of the shareholder vote, could BHP or anyone else derail things? To give us the answer, I'm joined by Patrick Harris, who is a senior editor for Merger Market. Welcome, Patrick. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Juliana. It's a pleasure to be here.
So to begin with, could you give a brief introduction to the two companies, Teck and Anglo American, and just very briefly outline the deal, please?
So yeah, Anglo American is a UK-listed mining major with assets across the world, but it also has a very strong South African angle to it and is dual-listed in Johannesburg. It's got a very good kind of copper portfolio. It's got lots of different diverse commodities, but it has been the subject of investor and takeover interest in the last few years because it's been deemed to be undervalued. Whereas Teck is a Canadian company with assets primarily in Chile, but in other places as well. And it's a copper company, primarily. It did used to have some other assets, some coal assets that were spun off. Now, in the environment that we're in, where copper is very attractive, Teck is one of the few large copper-focused players in the market. So as you can imagine, it is a prize asset. This deal is structured as a merger of equals, but Anglo American is really quite a bit larger than Teck. So that's being equaled out by a dividend payment by Anglo American to even out those differences. It's the structure of the deal will involve the company becoming headquartered in Canada but remaining listed in the UK. And the most important things about the deal is around the what it does to the combined portfolio of assets and the exposure to copper. One of the key aspects of the deal is the synergies that the two companies have on their key mines in Chile, which is the Quebrada Blanca, I can't pronounce the Spanish very well, and the Calahasi mines. And between them, they say they're going to generate something like $800 million worth of synergies between the two. So that's the real crux and the rationale behind the deal is that copper angle and the synergies that can be made there.
How much of the motivation for the deal is to do with the synergies when it comes to copper? The price of copper has hit record highs in recent days. The synergies between the companies, Anglo and Teck's neighbouring mines in Chile. But how much of it is to do with Anglo avoiding being taken over by BHP Billiton, which has made several attempts to buy the company, which we'll come on to. But what is seen as the key motivation? Is it the copper? Is it the defensive strategy?
I don't think you can unpick one from the other. It's both. So copper, you know, the world runs on copper and crude. And there is a dearth of quality copper assets in the market, in the mid-market, in the larger cap market. So for Anglo, strategically, investing in a copper business, acquiring a copper business and expanding its portfolio in that space strategically makes a huge amount of sense. Now, but there's also no doubt that this is a defensive move as well. What it does, it makes Anglo a much more difficult, larger, more attractive company with which to have to try to swallow, to acquire. What Anglo has done recently, and we might come on to that later, is it's done a lot to change its portfolio in the last year. And the proposal to acquire Teck is another step along that road that changes the portfolio, changes the makeup of the business in such a way that it is defending itself, because, but in a very positive way, in that it's becoming a much more attractive business and a well-priced business. So it's both, really.
BHP, as mentioned, approached Anglo in late November this year, citing the strong strategic merits of a tie-up. That was after the deal with Teck had been announced. Last year, BHP spent much of the year trying unsuccessfully to buy Anglo. In light of the recent approach, under the UK Takeover Code, BHP can't now make another bid for Anglo within 6 months of that end of November date. Can you outline when the deal between Teck and Anglo will close? We have the shareholder votes imminently, but it still needs regulatory approval. So would there be enough time for BHP to get its ducks in a row and maybe come back again with a bid? And does the shareholder approval make that approach harder?
The shareholder votes are next week for Teck and Anglo. For Teck shareholders to approve the deal, for Anglo shareholders to approve the share increase, but effectively for both of them to approve the deal. For anyone to come in as an interloper for Teck, that becomes a diminishing chance after the vote. And that's all tied into the political aspects of the deal and the difficulty that would entail once it's been approved by shareholders to interrupt that. So really, we have a very short amount of time for anyone to come in on that deal. That said, alluding to the point you made there, that doesn't stop someone coming in for Anglo between now and when the Anglo Teck deal is supposed to close in the second half, I believe, of 2026. They've given themselves a very long time to be able to secure those approvals from different regulatory authorities. So the deal does have a long tail to it. But in terms of actually coming in for Teck, now is really the 11th hour for anyone to do that. As said, though, there's nothing stopping anyone coming in for Anglo, and they could come in for Anglo or Anglo and Teck together, which is what has been discussed quite widely in the market as a possible strategy from some of the other mining majors.
And according to some reports, BHP also ran the ruler over Teck last year after the Anglo approach fell through. But just to point out something from the merger announcement, the agreement includes provisions that allow Anglo American and Teck to consider unsolicited acquisition proposals for either board to terminate the transaction and accept a superior proposal subject to a right to match, or change his recommendation that shareholders vote to approve the merger. Obviously, the shareholder votes are imminent in those circumstances, and a break fee would have to be paid. So BHP is a known suitor for Anglo, but could there be other interlopers? You say it's going to be much more difficult. You've written previously about Glencore being a likely bidder, given its nimbleness and also having a 44% stake in the Collahuasie mine, which also matches Anglo's stake. But also, what about Rio Tinto?
My personal view is that BHP is not a credible buyer for either Anglo or for Teck. It's when BHP made the offer for Anglo last year, that was rebuffed for reasons that still stand today. In fact, the logic today is even stronger for rebuffing any attempt by BHP, because Anglo has re-rated much more positively following the divestment and the execution of its strategic plan that it announced following the BHP offer. However, looking at the other mining majors, and it should be said as well that some of the other reasons why BHP was rejected is because of its attitude towards South Africa. And Anglo American is has a very South African flavor to the company. It's one of its largest shareholders, perhaps its largest single shareholder. Need to check that is PIC, the South African fund. And BHP wanted Anglo American to be out of South Africa, and there's no way that Anglo American is going to do that. Then looking at the other mining majors, Glencore at one point was seen as potentially the most nimble to be able to come in for Teck or for Anglo and Teck. I think that has shifted now towards, if there's anyone, it is Rio. And that's probably largely for a number of reasons. That the main reason really is this whole Canadian angle. Glencore had looked at Teck itself in the recent past and was rejected for that. And there's no reason to think it wouldn't be rejected again. The reason that the Anglo deal is tentatively being approved by the Canadian government is because of Anglo has done so much to try to win over the Canadian angles of the deal, to an extent that the rival bidders that could emerge are unlikely to offer the same level of terms. It's very unlikely that if Rio came in, that they would say that Rio Tinto would have a Canadian headquarters, for example. That said, because of how attractive Teck is in terms of the like I say, the dearth of really large and significant copper acquisition targets in the market, that doesn't mean that someone like a Rio couldn't come in with just a premium. Because at the moment, the deal between Anglo and Teck, there is no real premium at all for Teck shareholders. If Rio was to come in with an improved offer, then although it might meet more resistance from the Canadian government, it still might have more appeal to the Teck shareholders. What you can do if you were, say, a Rio as well, by building out your copper portfolio and your portfolio of other critical minerals and base metals, it then allows someone like Rio to then think about other M&A moves, like spinning off those commodities and realizing more value from them. So it's there is still a lot behind the scenes in play here that could happen. When the deal first was announced, like many people in the market were thinking it was going to spark a frenzy of mining major deal making. That hasn't happened. It hasn't happened yet. It could still happen, I think, if one of them does emerge and comes in for Teck. Like we said as well, we're not just talking Teck. It could be Teck and Anglo, but Anglo has done a very good job of making itself more expensive in the last year.
So we've got the shareholder votes within the next week. What is the mood like from shareholders on both sides, and have any publicly supported the merger? We'll come on to the Canadian perspective in a moment, but could we start by looking at the Anglo's South African shareholders and what they make of the deal, given the new company will have its HQ in Vancouver, and that will move Anglo even further away from its South African heritage, where it was a hugely important company for a really long time and one of the biggest listed companies in South Africa?
Yeah, the PIC, from what I'm aware, does approve of the deal. They are one of the major shareholders in Anglo American, and it wouldn't have announced this deal without their approval. I've asked the same questions. It effectively halves PIC's shareholding I think it's around 6% at the moment, so it'd be around 3%, which would significantly dilute that. But the indication is that PIC and other Anglo shareholders do approve of the deal and see its merits. Likewise, on the Teck side, I can't quite remember the number, but most Teck shareholders have given their implied support for the deal. So it seems to have broad support from both sides.
Okay. And at a time when resource nationalism is on the rise, could Canada look to extract more from the deal? It's very Canadian focused.
Yeah, what we understand is that there could be some things around the edges that they could look to do in terms of perhaps securing preferential offtake agreements or some other guarantees around jobs and the like. But Anglo, the indication is Anglo isn't going to move on any of the major issues in terms of complete redomiciling and primary listing in Canada and that kind of stuff. It's unlikely to do that. It seems that Anglo's done enough to get it through, even though the government in Canada might try to do a little bit more. The way they're looking at it is through two angles, really. It's the kind of Canada Inc. angle, the Canada Invest Act, which is looking at as a national champion at the jobs, at employment, the investment into the country. But then the other angle, going to your point around security of supply is looking at copper. The reason why copper is so expensive is because it powers, it underlines electrification across the world and is in huge demand. And there is geopolitical tussles over the supply of copper in the world, and countries are looking at copper M&A through the lens of the security of supply, not just through the lens of, you know, what does it mean in terms of people working in our specific country. So there is that, but the deal seems like it would likely be approved on both cases, but they are the concerns, yes.
Okay, and finally, I want to finish off by looking at Anglo, which is in the process of selling its 85% holding in the diamond company De Beers. Where's it got to in that process? Will it be completed before the merger? It's also recently spun off its platinum business and is selling its nickel business. Does it plan to make any more divestments, and could these affect the outcome of the Anglo tech deal?
So De Beers is in the latter stages of the sale. Where exactly it is in the eye of the beholder, I would say. The interesting thing with that is the buyers are, or the reported buyers are, investors in consortium with the national governments of Botswana, or with the national government of, or sovereign wealth funds associated with Botswana or Angola, and some of the former executives. That's in the latter stages of the deal. To be honest, as one person described to me, De Beers is the gnat on the ass of an elephant. It's not that consequential. We all know it as the brand and as the very historic name, but it's not as consequential as some of the other deals. The most consequential divestments from Anglo really are of its nickel business to MMG, which very interestingly is being looked at very closely by the EC on those security of supply grounds that we talked about earlier, but this time for nickel. And the other divestment that Anglo is finding more challenging than it thought at first was the sale of its steelmaking coal business, its met coal business in Australia, to Peabody, which was terminated following an incident there that caused the deal to fall through. And that's now being restarted, the sale of that coal business, that steelmaking coal business. So those two divestments, there's still slight question marks around them. I don't think they will derail the deal. I think those divestments will get done. For the coal, for example, there's all the underbidders after Peabody that were looking at it. It's a slightly different price environment now, for sure, but there was interest in that they can go back to, and they probably are going back to. And on the nickel disposal to MMG, well, it waits to be seen, but the authorities looking at it doesn't mean that the deal won't get done. The platinum deal, yes, being done is another good thing. These have all happened since the BHP failed attempt last year, and these divestments are very much part of why Anglo American has re-rated really highly, because it has executed on its reorganization and its disposal program. Albeit many of these deals, as we just said, haven't actually completed yet. The way that it would affect the tech deal is if these deals did drag and didn't get completed, then obviously Anglo, it would affect the Anglo share price. It would affect the ratio of the merger of equals between the two, and that would have to be equalized, or it might give tech shareholders pause for thought as to whether they want to continue with the deal. Do tech shareholders want to be merged with Anglo if Anglo still has this met coal business in Australia? Probably not. Tech got rid of its own coal business not long ago. So yes, it could have an effect. But as long as they keep going, and they do divest these assets, as they most likely will, then it should be okay.
Okay, it sounds like the M&A team at Anglo American have had an incredibly busy year. Patrick, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much. thanks to Patrick Harris, who is a senior editor for Merger Market. And to point out, we are recording this on Wednesday, the 3rd of December. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe. And if you're on an app that supports it, give us a rating and review. To find out more about this episode and also about Merger Market, have a look at our show notes. Join us next time.